Hello and welcome to the 17th episode of Radio Thule, the Pan-Nordic podcast from nordiskradio.se. My name is Lux Lindgren and with me today are Andreas Halvdan. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Good evening.
We made it.
Yeah, absolutely. We made it. Yeah, the plan is to try to speak a bit about Leif Erikson, the historical figure, and also Greenland, and yeah, try to tie them together or something like that. But there is some interesting news from Finland that I would like to ask you, Andreas, about first. And that's this banning of Holocaust denial. And to me, it all seems a bit abstract, but you could probably summarize what has happened there, what they are trying to do.
Well, I guess it is abstract because they haven't... I think it's the same thing in Sweden. They don't really know themselves what the law is supposed to allow and not allow. So I guess it's going to be tried in court. But we had the story in an earlier episode with where that crazy Zionist witch, also the from the Finnish Christian Democrats, where she was quetching about that she feared that she wouldn't be allowed to deny the Holocaust that the Jews are perpetrating in Gaza right now.
Yeah, that news piece. It was really interesting.
So the law is pretty sweeping, I guess. It was the like crimes against humanity that the ICC has deemed them crimes against humanity.
And you're
not supposed to be allowed to criticize or not criticize. Deny those crimes.
And exactly. It says, an article was written for Nordfront. It says, according to the proposal, the criminal provision applies to the public justification, denial, and gross trivialization of genocide, crimes against humanity, the crime of aggression, and war crimes. The provision also applies to the denial of a crime that has been established by a final judgment of a recognized international court, such as the ICC.
So, like, trivializing wars of aggression, that's an interesting piece. So sounds to me like, in theory, if you have like a different opinion on the, for example, the Russia-Ukraine conflict, you would say that Russia is not the only like instigator, and that Ukraine also has some of the blame. The way I interpret it, that could be illegal, according to that text.
Yeah. Exactly. Finland has had problems with Holocaust denial before? Have they talked about it, like in public life or politicians or so on?
No, there's so few Jews here in Finland, and historically there's almost been like no anti-Semitism here, and like most Finnish nationalism has not had the Jewish aspect tied to it at all.
They're probably like doing it because of Gaza and how Jews are acting overall.
Yeah, and this isn't true for Nordic resistance movement while it existed in the country, and not for the blue and black movement either. Blue and black movement definitely know about the Jewish question, but I haven't seen much denying of the Holocaust in public in Finland. So I don't know. Did we already mention Teemu Keskisarja's statement on topic?
Yeah, exactly.
Did we mention it? Do you remember?
Probably not on that subject, but we mentioned him overall. I don't really remember exactly.
He said it. Sorry for the audience if I'm repeating myself, but he said it's like criminalizing dolphin hunting. Like, ergo, it's
yeah,
not a problem.
I remember that.
Nothing that it doesn't happen, basically. Yeah, but I guess, what can I say? I believe the Holocaust now. I mean, I already did before because we're on a Swedish platform and I have to believe the Holocaust, but I believe it even more now.
Yeah, you have incentive for it, so yeah.
Mm.
Why not believe it? They have suffered so much.
Yeah,
it's over the years.
Double plus true. But the punishment for denying a serious international crime is everything from fines, I don't know how much, to prison for 2 years.
So, yeah, it's pretty similar to like hate speech laws in Sweden.
Mm.
And their punishments.
Ah, so hets mot folkgrupp, that's the same like scale.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, around there.
Yeah, well, all of these are just like opinion laws, punishment for having the wrong opinion. So I'm not surprised that they take a model from Sweden. It also says that it's the purpose with the new law is not to limit a sakligt, what's that like, an objective discussion from about historical events or the interpretation of them, but
yeah, like an objective or professional discussion.
Mm, so this is just filled with gray zones. I guess it's also like the hate speech laws in Sweden.
It doesn't really matter how many professional arguments you make. It doesn't really matter if you come into a room with a suit and try to argue against the Holocaust.
No, but let's put it like this way. If you come in with a suit and you're like a social democrat and you like can deny the Holocaust a lot more than if you make a joke about it while wearing a swastika. It's not the severity, it's the person expressing the opinion.
Yeah.
But we all already know that.
Yeah.
But it's fun that they put this Orwellian language into the law, that it's like we ban you from questioning it, but the purpose is not to ban you from questioning it.
Yeah. But I mean, I know we've probably talked about this before, but is there even, maybe I'm a bit stupid, but is there even an official like accounting? Because, you know, there's so many different, you know, books where they say different things, you know, with the eagle and the bear and the swimming pools and, you know, all the numbers have been changing constantly. I mean, is there like it's from the 1985, that's, you know, that's where it's true, or how do they even enforce this? This is crazy.
Yeah, I tried a few months ago. I tried to look into the number, or I tried to confirm the number that I believe, which is 6 million. And I got all different kinds of answers. But basically they all boiled down to it's more of a symbolical number and not meant to be taken literally.
Oh, okay.
So who knows?
Okay. So they don't really know either, I can see.
No, it seems
research.
Mm. Yeah, it seems the mainstream like sources would admit to just like, yeah, that it's more of a symbolical number.
Yeah, okay. It's like believe all women, right? Bit the same there.
Yeah, the Nordics it feels like the Nordics historically have been pretty good with laws against Holocaust denial. Sweden got it like, I believe, the summer of 2024. I believe Norway and Denmark still doesn't have it.
Yeah, true.
Well, that's odd.
Iceland tried to ban circumcision. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're using a lot of the political capital now after the what's it called? Was it October 7th? All the protesting in the universities. I think it scared them a lot. So they've been cracking down. Mm. Australia as well, you know, they've got some really dystopian laws. Freedom of speech, the facade is coming down. So that's probably a good thing, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, I always thought it was about Finland and Sweden entering NATO, but Denmark and Norway are also members. So it's like a condition for not joining NATO fast enough, something like that.
Yeah.
Or just Jews being more hated and yeah, people just talking about it more. I looked at the website for the Nordic Resistance Movement in Sweden, and they have done some actions because the 27 is the Memorial Day, or what you can call it, for the Holocaust. And there's been some actions made, and the only difference really is that instead of having a banner where it says like the Holocaust is fake, the banner says stop the Holocaust of our people. And then like the Holocaust is fake, these messages are instead spray painted in the public at nighttime and so on. So yeah, the specific strategies have to be changed a bit, but yeah, it's not world ending. And yeah, it's just a sign that they are losing the argument. It's such a weird thing to criminalize.
Mm.
We also want to talk a bit about Leif Erikson, because we've actually made episodes about Greenland before. I believe it was it episode 5? It was episode 5. When I look at nordiskradio.se, it says in the description that a part of the episode was about Greenland, Donald Trump's threats of occupying it, and the history of the island. I don't really remember how much we spoke about it, but we probably mentioned it. And it did get worse. This episode was actually, I believe it was released like the 31st of January, 2025. So much has happened since then. But the thing is that Donald Trump has been pretty illogical, but also in some ways logical. But yeah, the recent political situation around Greenland has pretty much been, according to me, that there is this historical pattern that declining and overstretched empires often seek of securing land buffers or like strategic positions. And they have gotten desperate around Greenland, even though Denmark is in NATO. It's pretty much a vassal state, and they already have a military base there. They only have one right now, but during the Cold War, they had a lot more. So, yeah, it's not really in the way that something is stopping them. It's just that they need more power. Probably because they are getting desperate and feel their power dwindling in the world in general. But that's my take, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know how much is talk, you know, because he's the businessman, and you know, how much he, I mean, what's stopping him from just setting up a bunch of, you know, patrols in Greenland? I mean, we have like one serious patrol there, and setting up a bunch of NATO bases, and or at least forcing Denmark to do it, and you know, getting, you know, sort of the regional control that way. I don't see why he couldn't do that. It feels to me as well like it is a bit like of a distraction, but it could also be he's just, like you said, he's just stretching as well. I've never really understood why he is so antagonistic towards, you know, a declining Europe. What's the point, right? We're buying gas and and things, you know. I mean, he just needs to show Europe a bit of respect and we go along with anything, right? So I don't know. It didn't really make any sense to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, but it's
as Lucas said, declining empire needs land, but it could also be that they need money. You know, all these tariffs, it's like sucking the wealth inward towards the center.
Yeah. It could be all the you know, Greenland has a lot of natural resources, so it could be all the billionaires that need their, you know, China's been taking control of a lot of the rare earth minerals, and, you know, Greenland has a lot of those, so it could be something like that as well. Because I don't see, you know, you said they need land. I don't see them, you know, setting up, you know, colonies in Greenland or something like that, right? So
might be like if there's some minerals or, yeah, I don't know. But they want something from it in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how do people like in... Yeah, go Andres.
No, I'm just going to say that Trump said that the Danes don't even want to live there, but I don't think like Tyrone and Shaniqua want to live there either.
No, they probably don't.
Honestly, like lack of sun is like the dark man's kryptonite, right? They're not going to live there very long. So a few generations max. So
yeah,
you need so much vitamin D and it's very hard. I mean, even the Greenlanders don't really want to live there. So what do you do?
Yeah, the Vikings gave up their settlement. So yeah, it's a pretty.
Did we though? I mean, that's a mystery. I know it's no one really knows what happened there. We just know we have two outbursts in Greenland, and they were there for many hundreds of years, and then they were gone. So
yeah. But how do like regular people in Denmark, as a Dane, have like regular people spoken about the whole Greenland situation? Because it's it has been much worse now than it has been before when we talked about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, Trump is a favorite topic in Denmark.
Yeah.
I'm getting fairly bored of it, and it's like the really liberal take. Like they get like CNN takes and things like that. Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's the same in Sweden. A lot of people in Scandinavia don't like Trump. Even like the more right-leaning people don't really like Trump. But
fine, do that.
But... Yeah, even though I hate Trump, but the criticism is really liberal. So
So I mean, we've been hearing Trump criticism for so long, but it's really galvanized a lot of people. And actually, like, there's a house with a Greenland flag on the way home, and it hasn't reached quite the Ukraine craze, but it's definitely like the Danish, the current ruling party, has seen a lot of popularity increase, and it's definitely like the at the top of everyone's lips for sure. It's a big topic.
Yeah,
a fun thing to ask normies is like how they're enjoying the safety of NATO. Like if there were to be a conflict between Denmark and USA, which I don't believe is going to happen, but it's at least theoretically on the table right now. Would we be at war with Denmark or USA then, or maybe both? Like, what a shit show NATO is, like, conducted by a stupid orange man.
Yeah.
How can anyone, like, think this was a good idea?
Well, I mean, in that time, you know, there was the US sphere, like, using it to contain Russia, right? But it sort of outlived its use, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, let's face it, like a war with US, like, I don't think anyone's even, I mean, I think you have to be really thick to even think it's anywhere near a possibility. You know that we just had one dog sled patrolling all of Greenland, right? We have nothing, you know, not even, we're not even on the same plane as them, even with European support. So, I don't know. It's a bit strange as well, because, you know, we've been hearing a lot. There's been a lot of talk recently in documentaries about the Greenland women, because they were putting them on birth control when they went to the doctors in the 70s and around that time, right? To control the birth rate. So there's been a lot of, you know, colonialism talk and things like that.
It's from like Trump people who hate third worldists and want to like take over brown people and bomb Venezuela.
Danes have been talking about it. It's been a big topic, but I guess the Americans will latch onto that as well, because you know you need to justify all of Trump's craziness. I mean, there's just a lot of, you know, like cognitive dissonance, right? Like, oh, you know, we were colonized and it's sad for the Greenlanders, but you know, the Americans shouldn't take it, it's ours, and blah blah blah. But yeah, my opinion is, I hope we keep it, because it's going to become so strategic in the future, right? I mean, any of our potential is going to come from Greenland. You know, that's where all the trade is going to happen once, you know, you see a lot of the ice melts up top. It's going to be a huge trade route. So there's a lot of potential in Greenland for sure.
And this thing with trying to handle the population boom of like the Inuits and so on, that was a pretty liberal idea at that time.
Yeah,
it's not like they were complete racists or so on.
No,
it's just a normal thing that
it was a liberal well-meaning policy, like
don't
have 10 kids, this seal that you clubbed last spring is not gonna like feed them all.
They wanted to integrate them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it failed. But we were also trying to, we also sterilized a lot of, handicapped people in Denmark and in Sweden. The kings of it, right? I mean, this wasn't really a racial thing, although, who knows? So definitely very...
It was like a transition period between regular racism and modern liberalism.
Yeah, but I mean, Greenland still is, you know, completely subsidized by Denmark as well. So, it's a bit, it also feels a bit weird, you know, like, you know, the Americans are saying how much they can give the Greenlanders, and we've been paying them as well, right? They're just looking for a new sugar daddy in a sense. And, you know, they're not independent at all, right? They don't have anything. They can hunt. That's the max what they can do, right?
Yeah, I read some simplified Swedish resource that's often used for like people in like school and so on in Sweden, and in that article it said that Greenland was heavily subsidized by Denmark, and there's probably a lot of money being dumped there
for sure. Definitely.
But didn't like Trump say something that they wanted to give every person there like 100,000? But yeah, it seems like just having free health care is maybe not 100,000, but some way there at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the Greenlanders can be bought. I mean, they still have some pride in their country. I think the Chinese were also trying to come and set up some harvesting of the nation, and they rejected it. I think it was the Chinese, I don't think they'll want to join the Americans, that's for sure, but we'll have to see.
And how much does it really matter in the end for like white people?
It's just not really a frontier for us anymore. There's a lot of mixed people there as well, and
the only thing I can think of is that if it becomes American, like completely, the white people living there might get it like a bit worse with healthcare and so on, but they can just move to Denmark. So,
I don't know. I mean, the healthcare is probably pretty decent compared to some regions in Denmark. Like these, you know, the satellite states probably get quite decent healthcare. But
I read somewhere also that like in Greenland, the more like high-paying jobs or jobs that require more education, all of them in Greenland is taken by Danes. So, but I don't really know the proportions between like Inuits and Danes. is it like South Africa level or somewhere like 50,000 people there? So
I think it is like South Africa level, but I'm not really sure. Can we check?
I heard somewhere that there's like a couple of thousand Danes like running the show.
Yeah,
for the Inuits basically, and they like fly in and out because no one of them is living like permanently on Greenland.
Yeah, it's just 90% is Inuit or Greenlanders or whatever you call them, Eskimos.
Yeah, but the Inuits, they seem like more integrated than like the Aboriginals and so on. Doesn't seem like they're sleeping on the roads and drinking gasoline and whatnot. But I don't know.
In Copenhagen, they are.
Okay.
A Greenlander in Denmark is seen as
sniffing glue and sleeping on the road.
I don't know about glue, but they, you know, with a tuball in their hand. And,
Place
it with tuball, yeah.
They're seen as alcoholics, maybe.
Yeah, they have that Asian gene, right, where they
can't
alcohol very well. And then, of course, you know, living in Greenland must be pretty crap for the most part. Right? you know, there's some good hunting and good nature, but I mean, it's dark all the time and there's not much green around, is there? So,
but nowadays it seems like it seems like the Inuits aren't like the biggest minority. You must have like Arabs and so on that are bigger minorities in the realm.
Yeah, we have a load of Syrians and Iraqis. Mm. From the Middle East for sure. Somalis, Eritreans.
Yeah,
compared to those like sort of like a master race.
Yeah, they still like in Greenland, they still like live in their country somewhat. The thing is, if you compare like the historical situation between Danes and Inuits in Greenland, it's a bit similar to like Sami people and Swedes. Because when I looked a bit at the history, it seemed like 2,000 years ago around there, some Inuits like lived in the north of Greenland or around Greenland in some way, but in the southern tip of Greenland, in the southwest, the Norse people with Erik the Red and so on, they were pretty much the first there at that specific time, at least.
Yeah, they were there.
I think the Inuits came like a few hundred years after they left their settlement, or like
I think they were there at the same time. I think they were there around the same time. So, you know, I mean, I don't think it happened, but, you know, there is some people who have said maybe they were, you know, they had some kind of, you know, fighting with each other because no one really knows what happens. It's a bit of a mystery what happens with them today. Did they pack up and leave, or there was also a little ice?
But I have heard it's a lot about like the climate and so on.
I mean, that's one. I mean, there was a little minor ice age at that time, so it might have become unlivable, or you know, it wouldn't have taken, you know, one storm, right? I think was it in the Faroe? No, where was it? Was it Orkney Islands or something? You know, where a huge population of the island can die if they were all out in boats and there's a storm coming. You know, I mean. Who knows? No one really knows what happened. So I think
another theory I heard was that they traded a lot in ivory from what animal has that in Greenland? Is it walruses, maybe?
Yeah.
But they opened up the trade route for ivory to Africa in the 14th and, sorry, the 16th and 15th century. And therefore, it was a lot cheaper and easier to get them from Greenland. So it was their prime source of income. So because they didn't have anything to trade with that the rest of the world was interested in, they didn't get like much wares to the island.
Yeah.
So that's probably a large part of it.
Yeah.
And the reason for the Vikings leaving, what I've seen is that it was seen as like an export colony. That the climate and so on, the situation like shifted. And I read it was pretty similar with the Inuits also, that like there was a population of Inuits that lived in like the northern parts of Greenland like a few thousand years ago, like 2000, but they then left and so on. So Greenland seems like a place where you can come, live a while, but when the situation changes, the environment and so on, you kind of just have to leave. If you don't have a modern society, because yeah, it's not really that hospitable at all.
Yeah, like biggest thing is there's no trees there.
Yeah,
like, you can't sustain a large population if you don't have trees. You have to, if you're gonna build something in those days, you have to import them all.
Can you even make like a fire? I mean, how do you warm up a house? It's crazy. Like, how do you keep it warm? I mean, what? I guess I have to look into Inuits, how they do it. I guess it's the same thing. You got to learn from them.
Yeah. And I always thought, like, before that, why didn't the Norse, like with Leif Erikson and so on, why didn't they colonize more? Why didn't they just take the whole northern coast of America and so on? But yeah, it's a lot harder than one might think. Like, not only like the travels between Iceland to Greenland and Greenland to the Americas and so on. There's been stories where they may have like set out with 30 ships and maybe 15 arrive and so on. So it's really simple to just lose your like navigation or just get lost in storms and so on. And
and you also, it's a long way to travel from like middle of Norway to raid in on the English coast, but it's a whole different thing to go from Norway to the east coast of America. You have to be
even Greenland, right?
Yeah
halfway.
Even that, yeah. But you have to like build a forward base and stuff, and you have to have men to defend yourself against who knows how many Indians.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. 30 ships isn't going to get you far if you lose half of them too on the way there.
Yeah, and I read that some like early colonization attempts in Vinland, they were like 30 people. So of course it's going to be hard, but it's just impressive overall that the Nordic peoples succeeded in colonizing like the Faroe Islands and Iceland and Greenland in later years and so on. Just that in itself is impressive, and especially Iceland and the Faroe Islands.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's also, well, I was reading about and listening to a podcast about Leif Erikson and his father, Erik the Red, and it's like he had kids born everywhere, and he had lived basically everywhere in the north and in Scotland too.
Yeah.
It's like 1,000 years ago. Like now, imagine, like, it's a pretty big thing moving abroad, but in those days, sailing out into the unknown ocean and like living in Iceland, Greenland, and then going on to America, having sons and daughters a bit here and there.
And just going by boat also. It's like if you walk somewhere or like ride somewhere on a horse, you can always turn back. But you can't really do that on a ship. It's much harder.
Mm.
You are the sea is less forgiving than the land. You don't really have that much control of the situation as you would have on land.
No.
It was Leif Erikson's brother who was the first to be killed in North America, wasn't it? I thought I read something about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read also somewhere that someone was born in Vinland. If it wasn't Leif Erikson's son, it was someone after him.
Does he have citizenship?
Oh, no, that's Canada, isn't it? Crap.
Yeah, exactly. But there is a place right now. It's a bit of a tourist attraction, but there is a place in Canada. It's like Lonesome Meadows, where and that's the archaeological site that they found, and it's in Newfoundland and Labrador, like the islands and so on. But they've actually found archaeological evidence. It's always that way with Norse sources and so on. They were a pretty oral people, so they didn't write everything down. It was written down a bit after and so on. But yeah, there is archaeological evidence.
Yeah. Is that the Vinland saga, or is it the Erik the Red saga, or?
No, it's the Saga of Island of Icelanders.
Okay, Saga of Iceland. Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, it's the Sagas of Icelanders. Yeah. There's a lot of Icelandic sagas outside of just Eddas and so on. But these were written around like the 13th and 14th century and so on. So they're a bit later. It was around the year 1000 when they got to Canada there. I believe they got to Greenland in like around 982. The thing about the dates and the years and so on, they aren't that exact.
Yeah, if they're written a few hundred years after, I mean, you can see the World War II, what everyone thinks of that. So.
Exactly. But there is a lot of, there is archaeological evidence.
I'm reading that the Lawns and Meadows was actually like a forward base and not like a like the beginning of a colony base camp for further exploration. So those are the things that you have to build when you're coming from that far away. When you go to England, you just step ashore and enter the monastery pretty much.
And come out with a few treasure chests, right?
Yeah,
excellent.
It's like a Viking Grand Theft Auto.
Sure,
exactly. Yeah, but I would recommend everyone just reading a bit into the subject, and not just Leif Erikson. His father is also very interesting, Erik the Red.
The whole family is interesting.
Yeah. The whole family dynamics and so on.
The sister went to North America as well, right? And the brother, he was killed there, and what life, and it's wild. It's a good story.
Yeah, and maybe they had the first, maybe you mentioned that already, first European born on North American soil.
Yeah, you did mention it, but it's impressive with all the Skraelings. I think, they were very worried. I think that wasn't the reasons why they gave up on the colony. It was because there were so many Indians there, right?
And they were so crazy. Few. And it's like the technological supremacy was a lot bigger in the 1500s when the Spanish arrived in the Caribbean and so on. And in South America, I believe the Scandinavian kingdoms in the 1500s did the same again, they would probably have succeeded better.
Yeah, for sure. If King Gustav, he went there with a few hundred men, I think he would do quite well.
The whole colonization of the Americas in the 1500s is also a pretty interesting story, and what the Spanish actually succeeded in doing. They could defeat really big armies with pretty few men. But it was a bit harder for the Norse people. But yeah, there's also a pretty interesting story with Christianity and so on. And how that spread, and with like a story where Leif Erikson like visited the king of Norway, and where he gave him this like mission to make Greenland Christian and so on, and how they built the first church there and so on.
Yeah, but that was his mother, wasn't it, who did that?
Yeah, exactly. It's always that with Christians where the women get the most fanatical about it.
Yeah.
And Leif's father didn't like the new religion, but he had to agree to his wife's.
Yeah, or was a bit indifferent.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But as usual, he had to agree to his wife's ideas.
Yeah, and it wasn't so much to argue about when the king of Norway was Christian, and the whole of Europe.
Have you read Röde Orm, by the way?
Long ago, but the book is really famous in Sweden.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a fictional book, but it has like a pretty interesting view of religion. It was more like a typical Nordic pragmatic view of it. When they were in Spain and under the Moors, they were serving under a Moorish leader. And then they saw that he was like successful in battle, so the thought process wasn't anything more than like Allah seems like a good guy. He helps him win battles, but I guess we can kneel in front of him. But too bad we can't eat pork and drink beer though. So it's more like a, I don't know, it's how to explain it. It's very utilitarian view of it.
Yeah,
exactly.
As I also read about Leif Erikson, like what does a one god more matter in the pantheon?
Yeah, it's a really polytheistic view. Christianity was at least spread by white people, at least in the thousands, after Christ and so on. Wasn't that much big of a deal. It's like in Iceland where they became Christian. It wasn't any violence at all. It was, they just made a decision in the thing.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a lot of violence in Germany and like a lot of massacres. And,
yeah. But it wasn't in the Nordics in the same way.
No.
It was a lot different in like Italy when it happened, and in Saxony and so on. But Iceland was peaceful. I think Norway was a bit more violent, but Sweden was also peaceful.
Yeah, what was it? King Tryggvason, who was the one who told Leif to proselytize the Greenlanders. Yeah, he was spreading it with the sword as well.
Yeah, it would be pretty fun to read Röde Orm for the show, but it seems to be around 200,000 words, so a bit long.
I read it a few months ago. It's really, really good.
Mm.
Is it a long read or?
Semi-long read. It's, of course, longer than Beowulf, even if we don't have the kids' version.
I was going to say.
Yeah. It's I think I don't remember how long it was, 200 or 300 pages. I have it lying around here somewhere, but I can look afterwards.
It has
really everything about it is just Nordic. Like the language is, there's nothing unnecessary. Like straight, he explains things to get to the point. Like no wondering about what he had eaten for breakfast this morning and how the leaves were rattling in the trees or something like that.
Mm.
It's a really, really interesting language in it. The
English translation seems to be the long ships for the title. But yeah, it was written, wasn't it? The first English language edition was 1954, but it was published during like the Second World War in Sweden. Another thing you said, Halvdan, was Vinland Saga, and I don't think I don't know if you meant when you said it, but that's an anime that was released, a Japanese anime, as they all are, I guess. But I believe the creator, there's like two seasons out. I believe the creator actually traveled to Iceland, if I don't remember wrong. And yeah, that anime is actually pretty good. It's still an anime, so it has, if you don't like an anime, you wouldn't like this one in a way that it's how they talk and how it's animated and how they move and like act and so on.
Well, it's very Japanese.
Yeah, it's very Japanese in that way.
Ultra Japanese, but it's fun that they're fascinated by Vikings and Nordic history.
Yeah, absolutely. And but the themes are really good. The main character is Thorfinn, and that's Thorfinn Karlsefni, and that was. So the main character is Thorfinn, and he followed Leif Erikson's route to Vinland in a short-lived attempt to establish a permanent settlement there. So I believe he was he lived in the same time and so on. So yeah, but the themes to that anime is actually really good. What makes that show really interesting to me is how like traditional the gender roles are. They're like really traditional. It's like even if you have shows today that are like only white people or might have like traditional themes, it's still feminist, as the show Vikings, where they have shield maidens and so on. It's absurd how they portray that thing. But in Villain Saga, all women are like, the traditionalism is really realistic, and there's only white people. The only thing in Villain Saga that isn't like perfect in the way of themes and traditionalism, I believe it's the last episode of the second season, the last season, where like the main character's sister gets mad at him in like a jolly way, in a heartwarming way, where she like throws him through a wall in like an anime way, where she has like extreme strength. But that's like one of the last episodes all through the show. That doesn't really happen. But I can see, or what I remember.
Yeah, I guess you could live with that.
There's yeah, but more. It's just one scene. But it's very Japanese. But the themes in it really just shine over that small thing. Another thing with Vinland Saga is that people maybe don't like the second season as much. It takes a bit of a turn. This first season is more simple to understand, where the second season is like more philosophical. So yeah, okay. Some people don't really like that, but yeah, I actually do recommend that show. But just for the themes and how it's written, it's like really beautifully done.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to check it out. That sounds good.
Yeah, the setting is, if we just read the synopsis with the setting, and it's that it's set in England in 1013 AD, which has been mostly conquered by the Danish king, Sven Forkbeard. And as King Sven nears death, his sons, Prince Harald and Prince Knut, argues over his succession. And the story draws elements from like historical accounts of the period, from like Flateyjarbok, the Saga of the Greenlanders, and the Saga of Erik the Red. So it's right around this time. It's like exactly this time but a lot of the story is set in England. But like the story is also begins in Iceland. The main character Thorfinn is born in Iceland and so on. But yeah, a lot of the story is in England. But like they talk about Finland and yeah, because it's right around this time, it's all in the air.
Another point was that they were speculating about with the name Greenland was that Eric the Red, just in order to get like people there to set up a bigger colony, he named it Greenland so it would sound attractive. Like who wants to live in Iceland? Like come live in Greenland instead.
And it works. Yeah. 20 yeah. ships came, and Trump still wants it now. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the purpose of this show was more to just bring up the story, especially when the Americans, who are not white, as we know with Greenland, a lot of the people who has influenced Trump into doing this with Greenland has been Jews and so on. Yeah, so it's just non-whites and Zionist Empire meddling in
Danish business
in the lands of the Nords.
Yeah,
exactly. More
specifically, it's World Jewish Congress Chairman Ronald Lauder. He said to influence, because I guess he has some investment in Greenland in the natural resources like the minerals there. He said to have influenced Trump into taking Greenland, or trying to take Greenland. Every single time.
Yeah, but the whole story with Leif Erikson, Erik the Red, and Greenland and so on is really interesting, and it really captures this adventure spirit of the Norse people. Just a little bit of reading about it, or just listening to some podcasts or out there, and just watching some YouTube video, it really inspires. And yeah, hopefully climate change is true to the extent they say it is, because then maybe Greenland and the Arctic might be more habitable in the future. But that might open up for more black people and so on. But yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting place of the earth. It's just pretty sad that it's so inhospitable.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you guys have anything more you want to add to the topic or so on?
No, I think you summarized it pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm all right.
Absolutely. We are planning to do our next episode in February. And the end of February, and we're thinking of going through a pamphlet made by a specific Dane, just by saying that people probably know who it is and what it is. But this Dane actually has two pamphlets, one that's more known and one that's less known. And even though we begin with the one that's more known, it would be fun to do the one that's less known in the future.
A little spoiler.
Yeah, absolutely. But we'll see what comes up. And yeah, we might do some news from Finland and Denmark also, and maybe Norway. We'll see how this Greenland situation pans out. But it seems like Trump has settled down a bit, or the American Empire.
Yeah, they're
probably just going to do some deal where they get everything they want instead. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're working on Iran right now. So,
yeah.
They might be back.
He lost. They have a lot of eggs in the basket. They have a lot of things to do. So,
yeah.
They have a whole world to make war on.
Exactly.
As yeah, being Israel's fighting dog is such a tough work.
Yeah. Yeah, the Israel's best soldier.
Mm.
Or it's not Hitler's top guy, it's Netanyahu's top guy.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a fast one on Åkesson's nightmare.
Yeah, I saw you linked that one. Yeah, the number one SOG person in Sweden, Jimmy Åkesson, the leader of the Sweden Democrats, he has had a nightmare.
The so-called nationalist opposition. The leader of the nationalist opposition.
I don't know. He's had a nightmare about anti-Semites and he ran into a mirror. Is that it? Is that a summary? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a TLDR. But funny thing, it was the weekend before he was going to go to Jerusalem and speak at a conference against anti-Semitism, because that's what you do if you're the leader of the nationalist opposition.
Yeah, just usual nationalist things, you know.
Yeah, and but then like the weekend before, his conscience tried to kill him in his sleep. but it still didn't get it.
Yeah.
He said something, it was like...
It was an Arab anti-Semite. It was an Arab who didn't like Jews or like Western people.
Yeah, and
kill him or something in his sleep.
He screamed in a language that he didn't understand.
But he just had to say that the Arab was an anti-Semite too. It's like, you're a Swede. Why do you care if he doesn't like Jews?
Good question.
It's like someone saying, I don't like aboriginals, or like, I don't like, I don't fucking know, black people or Eskimos or something like that. It's like, yeah, you can not like them if you want. Even I, as a third worldist, if someone says they don't like Arabs, I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah. But yeah, someone not liking Jews, that's too much for a Swede from the county of Blekinge.
Yeah,
it's even, just too much for him.
Even in your dreams, it's so absurd that it doesn't happen. Like, you can dream of running around in a Picasso world, but someone being racist and not like being racist toward Jews, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't even know why he said it in public. That seems like something you keep to yourself, like,
because he drank like 25 beers and fell over and then he made this shit up to please the Jews. Yeah. before the conference.
Didn't he talk about it on the conference later?
Oh yeah, he said before the conference, he just said that he was chased by a man and then jumped into a mirror or something. But live from Jerusalem, he said it was like an angry anti-Semitic Arab man chasing him.
Yeah.
This is the most absurd story so far.
Does he have like a scar from it? I haven't seen any pictures. Or
yeah, he had a band-aid.
Because he said it was over the eyebrow, like seven stitches.
Didn't you hear him speaking Hebrew at the conference?
No, I didn't hear that.
Oh, God, you're in for a treat.
Damn.
L'chaim. Because that's also what you do if you're... Jesus. Sometimes I wonder, how is the Onion still around? How are they gonna like do satire on what's happening today?
Yeah, it's first the one, the Sweden Democrat crying in the lap of some Jew, then this,
literally on their knees.
Yeah. There's such a weird party, and a lot of like regular people, they are starting to, or at least some more politically oriented people. There's this website in Sweden called Samnit, which is pretty Zionist, which has comments turned on. People are just, a lot of more politically interested people just see through this. It's because it's not, and it's not just this specific thing, it's all the things that Sweden Democrats are doing regarding Israel, and it's just getting too much. They're trying too hard. It's not like it's not just that they have this silent support for Israel because brown people are so dumb to Jews. It's just that people are getting mad at Jews, and they are like just seeing their time to be the Jews' new slave and just jumping in front of the criticism and going to attack against just people thinking blowing children to bits is bad. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't have Jews trying to kill me in my sleep anyway.
No, not me neither.
I have a clean conscience, but maybe this fat ass doesn't.
No, he's probably done things he regrets. One thing being having a position of power in Sweden 2026 and not stopping the immigration and just saying, yeah, we have, it's like they get small things. And it's just conservative slop. It's not even nationalist politics. Now, they of course, they don't really say that they're nationalists, but they have said like that they want to stop the immigration, and they're not even close. There was some news from Sweden that Pakistanis who go to Sweden to like drive Fedora and like Uber Eats and so on, that they get like these falsified documents that they are students, because one of the easiest ways to get to Sweden as a young person is to get like a student visa and so on. So they are faking those visas and then just going to Sweden to work low paying jobs, just being the regular immigrant brown people.
Yeah, there seems to be no shortage of ways to like import brown people.
Yeah, and there's no shortage of conservatives who let it happen, and not just let it happen.
No, but enable also it.
Actively work for it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't have anything more to add on. It was a
absurd, it was just a funny story, and it's story. One of the countless examples of Sweden Democrats being completely shit. And not even close to what they once were.
For once, we found some clown shit outside of Finland, too.
No, the thing is that Sweden has a lot of clown shit. It's just that we're all talking about it so much because all nationalists are in Sweden, or a lot of them at least. So it just gets a bit tiresome. And yeah. People know that, people already know, even Americans know that Sweden is bad. Because their president is even stated in speeches and so on. What they don't know is bad are countries like Norway, Iceland, and Denmark. Even Swedes have this view of Finland as this like fascist military state who's racist to everyone.
Yeah.
And people have this view of Denmark as this like country run by Danske Folkeparti, or what they're called, where they have like lifetime prison and they like destroy neighborhoods full of brown people. And yeah, people have this view of Denmark and Finland as these like states that have actually understood what Sweden has done wrong, so they're gonna fix it for real, the complete problem.
Yeah, I was accused the other day of like coping about Finland and trying to tell people that it's better than Sweden, for example. Like, no, I'm like the number one ambassador trying to tell people what a gay shithole this is. It's like my
calling in life. It's true that Sweden is worse. Like,
yeah.
All my friends who go to Finland, they say that it's like 15 years behind Sweden and so on. But the thing is, it's just a time thing. It's not something in like the ideology or like the politics or so on. It's going to happen. It's just that they're slow because the Jews and so on focused more on Sweden. It's just that.
Yeah, yeah, of
it's
course.
It's not a different system.
Like the
as we see, they are going to criminalize not believing in the Holocaust and saying it aloud.
Yeah, it's not, the symptoms aren't that bad, but you still know the disease is there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's like Sweden has AIDS and the rest of the Nordics have HIV. Maybe. it's gonna happen, just wait.
Yeah, I know. I saw a black kid on the beach last summer. I'm usually pretty like locally patriotic, but I'm gonna have to stop that after I saw that on the beach.
Yeah,
shocking like sight for me.
I see every day, so I have it worse.
Mm.
No, maybe not every day. If I just go to work and then just like run home and don't look, maybe I can. But if I just, no, I pretty much eat every day, or at least a few times per week. Yeah, it's pretty bad. At least some non-whites. But it was much worse when I went to school, because then you're forced.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but we can wrap up the episode there, and the listeners will hear from us at the end of February. This episode might be released at the beginning of February, but we'll see. But yeah, we'll wrap it up right here, and I'll thank you guys for doing this episode with me, and the listeners will hear from us next month.
Thank you very much, Lucas. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Stay away from juice in your dreams. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.